You're listening to By Design here on RN with Fenella Kernebone.
And now it's time to get writing. This week, In the Field is brought to you by Londonist Out Loud. It's a podcast that is all about events relating to the history of London. Its creator is N. Quentin Wolfe, and in this extract, he's off to a rather unexpected museum with some of his colleagues, and it's a museum that is entirely devoted to writing. So grab your pens, your texters, your quills, your pencils, or any other writing device that you own, and let's now hear from the original collector for the museum of writing, Alan Cole.
Let's come to you first of all, Alan, and you've got an array of fountain pens in front of you here. Could you tell us what started you first of all collecting?
In 1954, when I was at school, a teacher said to me, "You'll never get anywhere in life unless people can read your writing." So I went to the British Museum, British Library, looked at all these letters of famous writers, actors, artists, and decided that their writing was no more legible than mine. Teachers knew absolutely nothing, but that got me interested. The spark was ignited.
And it manifested itself how?
Well, finished up with over 100,000 items, dating from about 6,000 BC to the present date, for examples of writing, writing equipment, materials.
My head nearly fell off. 6,000 BC?
Yes, there's something called embryo writing that was written on... There's really shapes and symbols on stones from southwestern France.
We have been visiting a number of collections in recent weeks, including the Wellcome Collection, the Horniman Collection, and these are very much centred around individual figures who've started to gather things together. And then eventually, we were saying at the Horniman last week that the Horniman really exists as a museum because Mrs. Horniman got fed up with all the stuff in the front room. What was the spur for you to move the collection over to the museum here?
The same thing exactly. My wife couldn't open a cupboard without letters, without being stabbed by a pen nib or something. And so she said, "You've always promised to get rid of this. Isn't it about time you did?" And so 2010, I donated the collection to the university.
Mark Duncan, we've got an array of fountain pens. Where would you like to start? Where would you like Alan to lead us first?
The feather is definitely the one that catches my attention, just because it takes me back further in time than any of the other artefacts, perhaps even to Shakespeare's time.
Shakespeare, I can't see any connection with your line of work there.
All it is that it's a quill, it's been cut, so it can, you dip it in the ink and it writes. The quill goes back to at least the 3rd century. Some people think the Romans invented it, and it continued well into the 19th.
I've never looked properly at a cut quill. That is exactly the same shape as the nib of a fountain pen, isn't it? Is it possible to say how that works in a very fundamental way? Because they've all got the same sort of shape, except for this black object, which we'll come to in just a sec.
Simply that when you dip the quill into the ink, it's held in the channel. There's a reservoir of ink that's held in the quill, and when you write, it simply flows down onto the paper.
It looks
just,
as though,
just exactly the same as a pen nib or a fountain pen.
It looks as though gravity should empty it all out instantly, though, doesn't it?
But it doesn't. Because there's a slightly sticky surface to it, it does adhere to the ink, does, and it just runs down slowly.
This little fella here, is about 3-4 inches, and it looks like a small black spear that's slightly bent.
Basically, it is, I suppose. This one's got a bent handle. Yeah, it should have a straight handle. It's medieval. It's made of bronze. There are 4 flanges, which, when you dip it into the ink, it does hold the ink in the flanges. The simple reason, people were looking, instead of the quill, which you have to recut and dip in the ink every so often, something like that, they're looking for a pen with a reservoir, and this was one of the first examples. It didn't catch on, because if you write, it either doesn't write at all or it floods.
Yes, it's not difficult to imagine there being a right mess, to be honest. All of those lovely frontispieces I can't see coming from that pen.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why it didn't catch on, and there aren't many of them around because people just got rid of them.
Gareth Edwards, any of these catch your attention?
Oh, I'm thinking the brass object. It looks quite threatening, actually. So I quite like the look of that one.
Something bullet-esque about it, isn't it?
Yes. It's dates from 1749. It's called a Billon fountain pen. It was designed by Nicolas Billon in the 17th century. It's based on air pressure. It's simply a brass tube with a top that you unscrews. You put the ink in the handle, if you wish, mm-hmm. and there's a brass plummet that goes in, which controls the flow of ink.
So you've got a kind of a valve in operation.
It's sort of a valve, and the air pressure pushes it down through the valve and then out through the nib, just like a modern fountain pen.
And does that represent a major leap forward in terms of pen technology?
Absolutely. It's the first fountain pen. In fact, Bion called it La Plume Sans Fin, which is the endless pen. And which is as near as, damn it, to the present fountain pen you can get.
And what's really fascinating for me about that Bion pen is the nib is a quill, not metal. So it's a sort of it's a halfway house. So it's controlling the ink for a quill pen rather than a metal one.
There was one beautiful piece. Amongst the other, they're all very beautiful, but this one really took the prize in my mind, and it's the one in the seashell box, a very ornate piece. You've got a giant seashell that you're just bringing up onto the table here, Alan.
Yeah, in fact, it was made in Italy. It was made by Monte Grappa, and it's called the Aphrodite. The shell case is obviously the reference to Aphrodite, Venus, as she was born out of a seashell. The pen itself, it's got a black material, but there's mother of pearl and silver chasings, which include four figures showing Aphrodite, the birth of Aphrodite, and it has a pearl at the bottom coming out of the shell as well.
And what's the provenance of this item? How did it come to be in your hands?
No, it was simply that I was collecting fountain pens for the collection, and I had all the old ones, not all the old ones, but a good selection of early ones, and I thought I wanted something a bit more impressive for the collection, and this was the noblest and the most sort of outrageous one that was on the market at the time.
Have you actually tried writing with all of these pens?
With this one, no. With the early ones I have, just for research and for articles and things I've written for books. But no, this one I haven't.
There you go. On By Design, Alan Cole, the collector of all things to do with writing, and he was talking with N. Quentin Wolfe and Buddies, who produces the podcast Londonist Out Loud. And you can find details and links on our RN By Design website. Maybe you have a quill. Perhaps you have a fountain pen that dates back many years. Maybe you might like to use that for your haiku. So you can go in the running for copies of the two ABC books that we're giving away. Flora, the Gardener's Bible, the massive, enormous book, very heavy book, and also Kitchen Table Memoirs. So a reminder, if you are a haiku writer, that's all we want, to be in the running for these books. All you have to do is write a haiku about food or flowers. You have until May the 7th, and you can enter on the RN front page. I really do look forward to reading your haikus. Maybe you could photograph your haikus written on a fountain pen or a quill. I'd like to see them too.